The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m., and if you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Our scripture is from the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 3. It says, "Remember therefore what you have received and heard, hold it fast, and repent or turn back. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief." There's that thief again, Miss Rose. "And you will not know at what time I will come." We've covered a bunch of territory. We've talked about remember what you've received from the Lord, who you are in Christ. And I think that's so important for us to do, because we forget who we are in Christ, and it's important to know that. Remember that other people need you. Other people are important. Remember to give like you are, like you're rich, to live your life. Last week we spoke about to remember what Jesus had accomplished, and that was part one. And so today we're going to pick up on the second part of that, about what Jesus has accomplished for you. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. So, as we said last week, Jesus fulfilled over 300 prophecies that were said about him, and I gave you some statistical information. The probability of that happening is so remote that you can't even calculate what it's like to have that many things prophesied and come to pass. I told you to remember that what Jesus accomplished were things that were foretold and fulfilled, all right? Foretold and fulfilled. And then we spoke about the fact that the law was ended. That was one of the accomplishments of Jesus. And then today we're going to pick up with item number 3 of that series. Remember Jesus' accomplishments, defeated death, hell, and the grave. Revelation 1:17-18. "When I saw him," this is John the Revelator saying when he had a vision of God, Christ, "when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, 'Do not be afraid, for I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades," or the King James Version uses the word grave. Jesus on the cross, vicariously and in a very real way, became sin. We all know that. That's Christianity 101. We know that, that he became. But he also did some exchanges. The things that were due us were placed on him. Things that we deserved, he took upon himself. Jesus was sinless. He was the sinless Lamb of God, and he was sinless in two ways. First of all, he was not born of an earthly father, but of his heavenly father. So he had the DNA of God. He was deity. He was everything that exists and consists in him. So he was God incarnate. The other thing is that he kept the law. He was the only person ever born who obeyed the full law, and that he never sinned. So that exchange was that he had the ability to take what was due us in penalty and to receive that into himself. But the other thing he did, he was able to take the glory that he had as God and pass that on to us. So it was a great exchange. You talk about a good deal. Trump talks about the art of the deal. That's a great deal. I mean, you just won't find a better deal than that anywhere. So he became sin. Our sins were upon him. He took the penalty what we rightly deserve. So in him now we receive in the transfer of the exchange is we actually receive the glory of God. That's what he gives us. And the worst thing that happens to mankind was that he died when sin entered into the world. We don't face a greater weapon or an enemy in life other than death. That's the thing that scares us all to death, is dying. I mean, nobody wants to die. Zuckerberg, I think that's the way he pronounced his name, the guy from Facebook, I think I may have told you this last week. If not, if I did, I'm repeating myself. But he's investing millions and millions of dollars to find a way that people never die. Now, you talk about an ambitious task. I mean, that's an ambitious task. I don't think he's going to accomplish that because so far nobody's come up with that idea. So, yeah, maybe Facebook will live on forever. I don't know. But as far as humankind, it seems to be our task to die. But what Jesus did, okay, go back to the garden. Sin and death entered into the garden with sin. When Jesus became sin, he removed the death penalty for everyone who believes so that we won't die. We looking for the fountain of youth. Zuckerberg's going to spend millions of dollars. I didn't spend anything, and I have eternal life. You know, Jesus paid it all. So if he wants to live forever, it wouldn't take me 5 minutes to tell him what to do. You know, to receive Christ into his life, and that he too could have eternal life. So what we deserved, we don't have. I don't know about you, but I used to worry about sin. I used to worry about it. You know, in fact, I worried about it. There's something going on with the sound system up here, Don. It's getting an echo. Turn a dial, do something. I may not be have the best ears in the world, but I can hear echo when it happens. So when we had sin to deal with, it was a bothersome thing. And so what we normally do is if we have sin, we try to figure a way out of it. There's several ways. You can commit amnesia. Just drink your way out of it. You know, you can drug your way out of it. You can look for pleasures of the world to get out of it. But we end up, frustrated and unable to do anything about it. If one thing we've discovered is we can't do anything about sin, so what we'll do is we'll create a God who doesn't care if we sin. So we just make up gods. That's what people do all the time. They'll make up a God. In my church, we have no sin because there is no sin, they say. You know, we just, everything is great, everything is wonderful, and we're just all kumbaya through life. Well, you can say that, but it just doesn't really work. And you do have to deal with sin because it's there. So what Jesus did was gave us the ability to escape the penalty of sin and most of all, the worry of sin. So you don't have to worry about it. I don't worry about sin anymore. In fact, there was a guy that I knew one time. He said, God put all of our sins in the sea of forgetfulness, and he put a sign in the middle of the sea that said, no fishing. You know, so we're not allowed to go back there. I don't know if you've ever had these conversations with God, but I have. Sometimes I feel sorry about some of the stupid things I've done in my life, and I'll mention them to God, and he keeps saying, I don't remember that. You know, I just don't remember. Will you refresh my memory? Tell me what you did again. And he'll say, you know, they have this conversation between God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And he said, do y'all remember any of this? And they say, no, we don't remember it. God, you know, we always say about God can do anything. Now, this is going to hurt when I tell you this. This is going to hurt you. It's going to hurt you mentally to hear this. But God has the capacity to forget. and never remember again. So that when you go to him with sin, he can't remember it. He has the ability to do that. And he can't remember it because it was taken care of by Christ. And the exchange for that is the promise that whoever believes in him would not perish but have every everlasting life. So that you don't need to worry about sin and the penalty of sin, which is death. The scripture says that what we get for sin is death. I think it's Romans 3:23. It says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then two chapters later it says, and that the wages of sin is death. So it's a lose-lose situation. But for believers, there is no death in your future. Now, your body may crumble and get put in a dust box or a bowl or in the ground someplace, but you will live forever. So you don't need to worry about it. I've had the privilege of being with a lot of folks when they died, and Christians die well. They really do. They don't die trying to claw and hang on to every piece of life. There was a comedian one time, his little mantra he used to say all the time, you only go around once in life, but if you play your cards right, once is enough. On his deathbed, another entertainer, he called him down to get close and he said, you know what? Once is not enough. It's not enough. If you die without Christ, it's not enough. And that's a bad way to die. So Jesus accomplished an amazing thing. He ended death, the grave, and more importantly for us, the fear of it, so that we don't have to fear that anymore. We were declared not guilty by what Christ did. Y'all probably all saw in the news that the president gave Sheriff Joe a pardon. You know. Now, that's good. That's good because anybody who brings it up, Sheriff Joe can say, I have a pardon. It didn't say that he was innocent. It just said that he got a pardon for what he did. Here's the difference between what Sheriff Joe got and what you got. You were declared innocent. He got a pass. You got a get out of jail free card. It's a free card. Am I the only one who thinks that's a good idea? Is that something worthwhile thinking about? Let's go back to the garden. I love to go to the garden. You know, I don't like flowers and stuff, but I do like to go to that garden because I can learn a lot there. Here's Adam and Eve. Before sin entered into the world, okay? Before sin showed up, they were in a perfect state of innocence. Innocence. And the innocence was, they didn't know what sin was and had no idea of the penalty of sin. They didn't know. If you'd have went up to them and said, how many times have you sinned today? And they'd say, and? What is that? No concept of it. They were in a perfect state of innocence. When they disobeyed God, and ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they lost that innocence. Just like a little baby. You know, all of you have pretty much had children or been around little babies, and they're just so cute. Denise Riles brought a little granddaughter over to the house the other day, Eloise. Little bitty kid with a great big name, Eleanor. Yeah, Eloise is going to be the next child you're going to have, right? Yeah. But that little baby is just so cute. You like to touch them. Their little skin's so soft, you know, and they're just so innocent. That's the way Adam and Eve were. Sin came into the world. Now they know all about sin. They know about death because things are bad. And you know the story. They tried to cover themselves up. They were hiding. That whole story that took place in the garden. The weight of sin and death in the grave pounced on humanity. Everyone from Adam to today has died. That's what death has done. It caused humanity to die. But it also caused people to die spiritually. What Jesus did on the cross, what he accomplished, he became sin. That sin of Adam and Eve, that penalty for sin, which was death, he died. That grave waiting every human being, he entered. When he came out of the grave, victorious over death, hell and the grave, he made it possible for you to be just like Adam and Eve were back in the garden. You have no knowledge of sin because there's no penalty for sin that attacks you any longer. Now, what Jesus did, and this is really cool. Just cooler than cool. He took this old body that we're wearing out and breaking, you know, losing parts and all the other stuff that goes on with our body, and, you know, memory's gone. You know, it's just a mess getting old. You can't walk, your feet hurt, your back hurts, your head hurts, all that stuff. And he's going to take that body that we cherish so much, and it's going to go into the ground, back to dust. But here's the beautiful part. He's going to raise it new, a body like we have no idea what it's like, other than the little glimpse we get of Jesus. Paul said, I don't know what we're going to be like at the resurrection, but we are going to be just like him. What was he? He was innocent. He had a body that'll never wear out. He could go wherever he wanted to go by just thinking about it. He could enter into a room that was walled up. He could eat. He was eating fish on the side of the Sea of Galilee when he went to see the boys. So he could eat. He could laugh, he could move, he could talk. And that's what's waiting for us at the resurrection. So that in church, if we sit around pondering, oh, well, I'm going to die. Well, no, you're not. You know, oh, my body's falling apart. Oh, yeah, but you got a new one coming. You know? The scriptures say it has not, man hasn't thought about. He hadn't heard anything. He hadn't said anything. You know, didn't enter his pea little brain the things that God has in store for those that love him and are called according to his purposes. But listen, the next verse is the one we don't get. It said, but God hath revealed these things unto us. We have the revelation of it. And that revelation of that truth alone ought to make everybody in this church and who's listening to us rejoice, because we are no longer under the fear or the penalty of sin, death, and hell in the grave. That's gone. Come on, somebody say something. I mean, I'm preaching my heart out here with the truth. I mean, this is the good news, friends. I told Pat past week, we were having a discussion about this subject, and about sin and you know, just the not wanting to. We want to be nice to people. We don't want to be ugly to people. And so we use this phrase all the time. Well, God loves you, and that's true. But you know, sinners need to hear more than that. That wouldn't have got me in the kingdom. God's love. Well, I'm saying sure. Well, God loves me. But when I found out that the penalty of sin was death, hell, and the grave, and I realized I was in trouble, and when James Hickman told me that The scripture very few people ever memorize or quote, and it's John 3:18, that those who don't believe are condemned already, and the wrath of God abides on them. When I heard that, and I read that, and I saw that with my own little beady eyes, I asked Jim, I said, what do I need to do? He said, kneel down there, boy, and pray and ask God in your life. And I did, and I've changed. That's what brings people into the kingdom. The realization that they're under the penalty, the death penalty, and that there's a way out. Everybody knows they're in trouble. People do a million different things to try to deal with sin. We went down to Mexico several years ago, went to an Aztec, ruins, that's what it was. And they had a big stone they put out there, and they used to kill people on that stone. You notice the people in Georgia didn't kill themselves, but that's another story. They just killed other people to get some kind of favor with their gods so that the penalty of what they had done wrong, they wouldn't have to pay for. They wanted to appease God. And men have tried a million different things to appease God. The only thing that's ever appeased God is the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's tree. Amen. He appeased God, and the penalty that was due to each one of us was taken away. So we can live in joy and peace and happiness, knowing that when we do die, and unless the rapture shows up, and I'm not really planning on that. I mean, if it happens, but if I was a betting man, I bet it's not going to happen. But that's just me. But it could. It might, and I'm all in favor of it. But the probability is you're going to be looking at me one day and say, boy, he looks good. Yeah, he looks good. Yeah. Well, what's left of me may look okay, but it won't be good. But I won't be there. And neither will you when your time comes. Does that ring true? I mean, when I just put it up on the screen, it just didn't have enough life in it. When Jesus said, and I hold the keys of death and hell, or the grave. He holds the keys. You just bought a house. What did they give you when you got your house? They gave you the key. So you could get in. It's yours. And God has done the same thing for us. He has the keys over that. And what did he do? He gave it to the church. He turned those keys over to the church. And what it is, we can unlock the door for anyone who's locked in sin. And we say, there is a way out. There is hope for you. That's the message of the church. It's not, and Ro, I love your songs. I love the way you and Becky sing. I love, but man, that's not it. What's it is that we are free from death, hell, and the grave. That's what it's all about. We can sing hallelujah from now to Christmas time and for all eternity, and it won't get any sins forgiven. Remember last week we read in the book of Hebrews. It said that all the sacrifices done at the temple, all the animals that died, all the ocean of blood that was shed, didn't remove one sin. But Christ accomplished that for us. So not only we are not under the law, we're not under the penalty of the law, and we're not under the penalty of sin. Come on now. We ought to be shouting about it. It's worthwhile shouting about. I think sometimes we forget. That's why we need to remember. If you forget that, you're going to live a defeated life. You'll let life overshadow you. Listen, I know how bad it is to get wiped out by a hurricane. I've been wiped out, wiped out once and damaged pretty good another time. So I know what that's all about. But in Christ, that's not the end. In the midst of a storm, God can take care of us. David said, I would have despaired had I not believed that I'd see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So we believe in the goodness of the Lord in this land. But you know what? If it all goes, it doesn't make any difference. The day I lost everything in Hurricane Betsy, I was still breathing. Hallelujah, I was still here. When Katrina wiped out my garage and the top of my house, I was still here. It's not the things of life that hurt us. It's the not remembering who we are in Christ that hurt us. You can always get stuff. You know, even if you get a bad report from a doctor, and the doctor says, well, pack up all your cares and woes because you're about to go. And nobody wants to get that news. But let me be, if you haven't heard this before, but I think you have because you've been around me, you're going to die. I don't know when, but you're going to die. So if the doctor tells you, all he's telling you, well, I just told you, you're going to die. But that should not destroy your sense of well-being. Your sense of well-being is set upon what Christ did. Then that will give you peace. You won't have to worry about it. That every little thing just stealing your joy. Miss Rose talked about the thief. The thief comes to steal your joy, your sense of well-being. I told you this last week. You are the righteousness of God. I wish I could understand that. I wish I really understood. I see the words and I understand the concept, but I can't get all that. I mean, when you think about God and His righteousness and the glory of God and all the things that He is, all of those things that He is have been given unto us. We are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. I know we look at each other and we see people short and tall and skinny and fat and, you know, young and old, and we see all that. But if we could see what God sees when He looks at us, we'd be blown away. Because what we'd see is the righteousness and the glory of God that resides in every believer. We were born again, not of the corruptible seed of Adam or your mom and dad, but we're born of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the life that we have. In Christ, we will never die, we will never see hell, and we'll never be turned into dust. Our bodies might, but we won't. Amen? You got that? All right, now you know why it took me 2 weeks to go through this. Number four, remember Jesus' accomplishments stripped Satan of his power. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity. He's talking about us, the children, he being Christ, shared our humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death. He might break the power of him who holds the power of death. Who held the power of death? Satan did. He had the power of death. That is the devil. And free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. Fear all those who were held in slavery by their fear of death. Colossians 2:15. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Triumphing over them by the cross. Satan has no power over you as a born-again believer. He has no authority and he has no power over you. Not in this congregation too much, because pretty much figured it out over the years, but the idea of a born-again believer having a demon. Now, I just told you how great it is to be born again and that you have God's DNA and the righteousness of God and the glory of God dwelling within you. And you're going to tell me that some measly little tiny pipsqueak demon is going to come and reside in God's house? Are you crazy to believe that? That cannot happen. Jesus said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. So there's no way for a believer to be possessed by a demonic force. Now, what a demonic force can do, and the way it was explained to me when I was a real new Christian, a guy by the name of Tommy Davidson explained it, he said, if this room is you, and the devil can't get in, what he'll do, he'll go out there and bang on the windows. You know, he'll kick the walls. He'll make a lot of noise in order to distract you, but he can't get in. So that the enemy comes by, thank you, Tommy, the enemy comes by to try to drive you crazy, worried about a lot of stuff that he has no power and no authority to do anything about. You have the authority and the power to drive him out. He has no power to drive Christ out of you. Because that's exactly what he have to do for him to get inside of you. So don't be worried about, well, do I have a demon? Are you born again? If you're born again, the answer is no. You might have a demented mind, but you don't have a demon. If you want to think that, that's what you got, is a demented mind. But you do not have a demon. Don't be afraid of that. Come on now. I mean, that ought to make your day better, just knowing that. Adam gave up his authority on earth. We know that. He was in the garden. He gave it up. He turned it over to Satan. And Satan demonstrated that he had it. He went to Jesus. And he said, I'll give you this, I'll give you that. You know what? He had the authority to do it. He could have. If Jesus would have bowed down to him, he could have done it. So he said that he had that power. Jesus referred to people who weren't born again. He said, you are of your father, the devil. If you're not a believer, your father is a devil. You can say, our Father who art in heaven, and you say, liar, liar, pants on fire, you don't know God. You can't pray that prayer. The only person who can pray that prayer is a believer. Our Father who art in heaven is prayed by a believer whose Father is God. So, Paul went on to say that we were slaves to sin. Now, none of you have been slaves that I know of. I don't know about Errol because he's from another planet. You know, he might have been on another planet, broke free, and came down here to Earth. But those of you who are listening, it's not true. I just made that up. He's not on another planet. But, you know, we don't understand the concept of slavery other than this. The person who owns a slave tells them what to do and never asks their permission. I'm saying, would you like to do this? No, we don't care whether you like it or not. Just do it. And that's what we were. We were slaves to sin. Sin said, do this, and you do it. My seminary professor, Dr. Robbins, I mentioned him last week. He said, in the animal kingdom, by and large, with very few exceptions, animals will only do what they want to do until their appetites are satisfied. If they want to scratch, they only scratch until it stops itching and it quit, you know. Or if they want to eat, they only eat till they're full and then they stop. But what human beings do will go beyond our needs to satisfy our desires. We'll overindulge in things. We do things that are not good for us. Eating is good. Overeating is bad. Can I hear an amen? Overeating is bad. It'll kill you. It's bad for you. We overdose. We whatever it is that we want more and more of it, and we can never be satisfied. There is nothing in this world that will satisfy you. I saw that lady on TV. She just won, $750 million? The government got finished taking the money away. I think she got $390 million. Just chump change. Well, just chump change. And I thought, because I think about these kinds of things, I thought, I wonder what she's going to be like in a month from now, or a year from now, Are all the things that worried her before suddenly gone? You know? Is life going to be really, really super good now? Is all that money going to make her happy? Does it give her a sense of well-being? Now, if you've read any books, you've listened to any stories, you'll know that most of the people who win lotteries, they don't do very well. They spend it all, they give it away, they lose it, and they end up on the ash heap of life exactly where they started out from. Now, if I got $390 million, I'm already happy. Pat asked me, he said, what would you do with it? Well, Lamborghini, a Ferrari, a Maserati, a Bugatti, you know, I want one of those for every day, okay? Because I just love fancy pants cars. I'd have one for every day. And then I'd have to worry about the next $388 million. Where would I spend that? I don't know. I don't want it, tell you the truth. 10, 20 million would be okay. I could get along with that. But it's not going to make me any happier. I'm not going to have any more joy. In fact, I'm probably going to have to worry about what to do with it if I got it. So the things of this life. You buy something new. And boy, you really, really wanted it. You finally got it. You saved up your money or you used your credit card and you finally got what you really wanted. Might have been a new set of clothes. Might have been a new knick-knack for your house. It might have been, you know, just something that you really wanted. You might have got that Rolex watch you always wanted. How long does it take before that you don't care about that much anymore? Not long, does it? You know, you just got to get used to it. It doesn't give you what you thought you were going to get from it. The only thing that gives us lasting sense of joy is knowing who Christ is and not being under the foot of the enemy who tries to make us a slave. And he's in a slave business. That's what he does. He brings us down. He puts his foot on our neck and he tries to hold us down. But for Christians, that you cannot be a slave to the enemy. You're not under Satan's power. That's why I believe, and I have scripture to back me up in this, that a born-again believer might struggle with sin, but they will win the victory over it. You don't have to live in sin. And you won't be happy in sin. You know what Christianity, does to sinners more than anything else? It makes them miserable sinners. It does, because the things that used to give you joy and things that you wanted to do but they were sinful, you get saved. And then when you try to do those things, you're not happy. You don't want to do those things. That's what Paul said. He said, the things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. And the things that I should be doing, I don't do those things. He said, who will deliver me from this body of death? And he says, thank God in Christ Jesus, he is liberated from these things. So we don't live under the thumb and the heel of sin or Satan any longer. Satan had power, and he brought death and sin with him with that power. But Jesus took care of his, I was going to use a not nice word you can't use in church, took care of his hindquarters, you know. He is kicking, right? You know, he's right where he deserved to be kicked. I love that scripture. He says, and having disarmed the power that Satan had, he was disarmed the powers and the authorities, and he made a public spectacle of them. He just hung them out to dry for everybody to see. You know, that's what the Roman armies used to do. Whenever they would capture a city, they would take the slaves and they would just humiliate them, and they'd bring them into the cities and use them for sport. They'd make a public spectacle of them. And that's exactly what Jesus did to Satan and his power. He made a public spectacle of him, triumphing over them by the cross. What the enemy intended for evil at the cross, Jesus used for victory cry today. what was a Roman threat that people hated to see, the Roman cross, what a diabolical way of hurting people. We make little crosses out of them and put diamonds in it. We made something beautiful out of something evil. Why? Because something beautiful hung on that cross. And what he did for us gives us joy and a sense of well-being. And it gives us victory over the devil. When you don't ever come up to me and say, well, you know, the devil made me do that. The devil didn't make you do it. You did it because you wanted to, but it wasn't the devil's fault. It was yours for listening to that stuff. You're not any better than Adam and Eve. They just listened to the lie. And when you do what you know you're not supposed to be doing, you are listening to the enemy. And don't do that. You're not going to be happy. Sin won't make you happy anymore. It won't give you any pleasure. If you're really born again. Now, some people get a dose of religion. That's another story. You know, sometimes people get religion, but they don't get Jesus. People say, well, how do you know if you have Jesus? Honey, if you don't know, you don't know. You ain't got him. I believe he'll make a difference. Suppose I put $1 million in your bank account. I gave you $330 million last week, and we took it back from you. I'm going to give you $1 million back today. All right. Pat's got the $330 million. All right. If I put that in your bank account, and I told you it was there, but you never went to check it and to look at it and to make sure, you'd be foolish. You ought to check it out, make sure the money's there. I wasn't lying to you. But if you're looking and found out the $1 million was there, you ought to do something with it. You ought to be jumping up and down and be happy that somebody gave you $1 million. Well, you get a lot more in Christ. You ought to check it out. Check yourself out. Are you a born-again believer? Has your life changed? What do you measure about your life? Can you see a difference in yourself? If there's no difference, I told you about my buddy Sam. I love to tell the story about Sam because it's one of my great stories. Remember Sam Sorensen? I use his name. God rest his soul. Sam would never let me hug him. Remember that story? Every time I tried to hug him, he wouldn't let me hug him. Sam got saved. He wasn't saved 3 seconds. He stood up in the hospital room and said, can I have a hug? That's a change. The guy who wouldn't let me hug him. The guy who rebuked me one day because I invited him to a men's group. And he said, Mo, we had a deal. You weren't going to talk to me about spiritual things. I almost killed myself laughing. I said, Sam, I never said that. That never would, not in a million years would I ever say that to you. He said, well, I heard you say that. I said, no, you might have heard the devil say that. You didn't hear me say it. But it ought to be a change. It ought to be something different about you if you're in Christ. And don't let the enemy run roughshod over your life, stealing the joy of the Lord from you. Enjoy your salvation. When troubles come, treat them like old dirt and just throw them away. Y'all heard that story John Hagee told about the mule that was in a hole. He was old, and the guy won't even put him in a hole where they put garbage. He fell in it. And I see, I wasn't planning on telling the story, so I didn't check it out. But the story was that they kept throwing trash on top of him, and he would shake it off, and he would stomp on it, and he'd rise a little higher. And the more they threw on it, the more he'd step on it, shake it off, it'd rise a little higher. Finally, he rose high enough, and he got out of that stupid garbage pit. And that's the way we need to do with our relationship with God. Get out of the pit. Stop living like you're lost. Start living like you're a believer, you've been saved. Jesus made it. He triumphed over them by the cross. All evil came against Jesus at the cross. And all the power of God came for Jesus at the cross. And guess who won? Jesus did. And because he wins, you win. Amen. All right. Last thing I want to bring up. Remember, Jesus' accomplishments are much more than expected. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15, 53 and 55 through 55. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, that's you. You got that? Do I need to read that again? It's hard to read. I'm going to read it again. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable. What is the perishable? The things of this world. What are you getting clothed with? The imperishable, the things of the kingdom, the robe of the kingdom, the crown of the kingdom, the life of the kingdom. And when the mortal with immortality, what's the mortal? That's your dying. That's your death. That's the death penalty that you had with sin. When the mortal with immortality, when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with the immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Stop right there for a minute. So when that takes place, when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, when the mortal has been clothed with immortality, then something happens. Okay? What happens? Death has been swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? Now, I know for you theologians said, oh, well, he's talking about the resurrection. I believe, this is my opinion, I'm on good ground, you are resurrected when you receive Christ into your life. Yeah. How do I know that? Because yeah. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. And when you receive Christ, you're already resurrected. Honey, you're already living in the heavenly realm. That all the blessings of God are already yours today. You don't have to wait for it to happen. There will be a bodily resurrection, but as far as God is concerned, it's a done deal. It's not like the saints wondering whether or not they're going to have a winning season. You've got a perfect winning season. You have won in Christ Jesus. You have gotten the imperishable and you have gotten immortality, and death has already been swallowed up in victory because Jesus swallowed it up for you. And I love this. Oh, death, where's your victory? Ah, get out of here, you stupid thing. Go back the way you belong. You got no power over me anymore. I'm not dying. I'm living for all eternity. Where's the sting? Where's the thing that hurts? You know, you can't hurt me anymore. Because I don't belong to you, and I don't run with your crowd. I'm running with the people in the kingdom of God, people who are believers, who are enjoying the life that Christ has given to us. That's what Jesus accomplished for us. That's what he gave us. Religion and self-worth does this. It's in direct conflict with Jesus' promises. We expected punishment. We got a pardon. We got innocence. We expected fire and brimstone. We got the Holy Ghost fire. We expected retribution. We got redemption. We expected death. We got life. We expected eternal separation. We got eternal salvation. We expected rotten decay, and we got the resurrection. My goodness, that's more than I can think of. Yeah. Yeah. Woo! You see, when Adam and Eve gave away, the second Adam, Christ, took back in spades. You see, I said something earlier that wasn't quite true. I said you're going to be like Adam and Eve were back in the garden. They were only a type and a shadow of things to come. It's much more than that. Much more than that. Much more than that. That's what happens to those who believe in what Christ has accomplished for us. Jesus gave it all to us at his resurrection. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Whatever happened to Christ happened to me. The penalty of death was taken care of at the cross. I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. That's the resurrection. And the life that I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's who we are. That's exactly the way we live. We rule and reign with Christ today. That scripture, and I've quoted this several times through the years, as Christ is, so are we in this world. And you think about that. Is Christ possessed by a demon? No. Well, neither am I. Is Christ dying? No, well, neither am I. Is Christ unhappy? No, neither am I. Is Christ feeling good? Yes, so am I. Is Jesus dancing in the heavenly realm? Yes, so am I. Is Jesus looking forward to seeing us one day in the glory of His majesty in the heavenly realm? Yes, and so am I. That is our hope and our dream and our everlasting covenant with God, that Jesus wants to be with us. When James Barron was here a couple of years ago, he made this statement. He said, when the thief looked at Jesus and said, would you remember me? Jesus said, today you will be with me. And it's what Jesus always wanted, is to be with us, to spend eternity with us. For the joy set before him, that's you and me, he despised the shame and he endured the cross, that we might have life, have it abundant. Don't be living like a poor person. Live like the wealthiest person who ever will be created. And that's who you are in Christ Jesus. Get a sense of well-being. Don't worry about stuff. Things will take care of themselves. Some things you've got no control over. Some things you do, but some things you don't. You are not going to make yourself any younger, no matter how much you do to your body. You can paint it. You can cover it. You can carve it. You can, you know, replace parts. Whatever you want, you're getting older. It's something you can't do anything about. Don't worry about it. I found myself worrying about getting older, and finally God told me, will you quit worrying about something you got no control over? I said, okay, don't worry about it. I don't know how long I'm going to live, but if I go in the pulpit right now, I'm going a happy man, all right? Yeah. Hallelujah. Does that encourage you, Annie?
Yeah.
It encourages me to know what Jesus has done for us. So remember Jesus' accomplishments. He foretold and he fulfilled. He ended the law. Hallelujah. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. Hallelujah. He stripped Satan's power, and he did much more than we expected. Amen. Next week, the Ziegler's will be here. And aren't they cute? I love those guys. They're so happy. And then the following week, we're going to talk about something. Remember, Jesus is coming back for you. We're going to talk about that in 2 weeks, okay? All right, let's all stand. Woo! I done preached myself happy. Man.
Hey, Pastor.
Yes?
Maybe you should remind everybody that James Barron is coming in about a month.
Yeah, James Barron will be here. I think when Alabama comes to Louisiana, James Barron shows up. I think that's the Alabama game. We'll be here on September the 29th and 30th. It'll be on a Friday night at 7 o'clock and on Saturday morning at 10 a.m. After that, James is leaving us. They go watch LSU. I'd like to get him to stay for Sunday, but I can't have him. So I'll take him what I can get. So thank you for reminding me to remind everyone. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you for all the precious promises that are yes and amen for us. Lord, let us live in the realm of the kingdom of God where there is peace and joy and happiness in you and in you alone. Father, watch over us this day wherever we go. Let this message resonate within us and give us joy throughout the day, the week, the month, the years ahead, to never forget what Jesus did for us. We thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Everybody shout it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.